With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Tom Brady joins a list of legendary free agent signings in the NFL. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Reggie White, and Deion Sanders are all signings that eventually brought their teams a Lombardi trophy. Brady is on the verge of doing the same in just his first season with the Buccaneers and at the age of 43. Shannon, is Brady the greatest free agent signing ever?
No. I mean, Peyton won four division titles in his 4 years there. Peyton won a Super Bowl and went to two, won one, and was an MVP, threw 37 touchdowns, 55 touchdowns, and threw 39 touchdowns. So how, after only getting to the Super Bowl, is Tom Brady number one? I would say Drew Brees, considering what, Skip, Drew Brees, Skip, you remember the Saints were bad. They were the original team that put the brown paper bags over their face and called themselves the Aints. Mm-hmm. And he took a perennial loser and made them what they are today. And so now, since Drew Brees has been there for the better part of, got there in 2006, mm-hmm. I think 2006 he first got there, they've been talked about and always, okay, Super Bowl contender. And as Jenny mentioned, time. He was a free agent 1 year, signed with San Francisco. They won. Deion Sanders. Yep. He signed with the 49ers, Skip, in 94. They win the title. The Cowboys says, you know what? We don't want to go up against him. We're going to sign him. We're going to steal him away from you guys. And then he go win another title. Mm-hmm. Reggie White also, he was the first big free agent. That was when free agency first hit in 93. He was the first big-time guy to move. So, Skip, no.
And by the way, not only did he move, but he chose Green Bay, where nobody wanted to go before that.
Nobody wanted to go.
And it opened the door. If Reggie's going.
Yep.
I'll go.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Because at that point in time, Skip, we had nobody going to Green Bay. I'm not so sure, Skip, Green Bay is the Green Bay that we know today. Had Reggie not done that.
I mean, obviously, back in the 60s, they were Lombardi Packers. But to rebound and become what they were with Favre.
Right.
And obviously, they were able to trade for Favre because Atlanta was done with him after a year because he was having off-field issues.
He's been too much time in Buckhead instead of Swanee.
Yep, that's well said. So I hear what you say about Peyton and Drew Brees, and I was right in the middle of the Deion Sanders.
Okay,
let me address Deion first. That's the all-timer where you go from one team to the other and you go from Super Bowl to Super Bowl. My issue with it in the biggest picture is those were by far the two best teams of the day.
Right.
Dallas and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Because the year before Deion, mm-hmm. Dallas had beaten San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. It was the memorial. Jimmy Johnson calls the radio station to tell him, I guarantee the victory. Mm-hmm. And won that game 38-21. And then went on to the Super Bowl and just crushed Buffalo. It was a close game for a half, but then they crushed them 30-13. Emmitt just took the game over, okay? So it was clear Dallas was already the best team. Mm-hmm. So then Deion goes to San Francisco, and all of a sudden, Steve Young and company break through against the Cowboys. They got the game at Candlestick,
right?
Right?
Yep.
Emmitt had a pulled hamstring, and he was about half Emmitt in that game.
Right.
But they went on from that game to just crush San Diego in the Super Bowl 49-26.
Well, you knew whoever came out of that game was going to crush San Diego.
Crush San Diego. So my point is, Deion became, to me, the cherry on top of two very good teams. Then he goes the next year to Dallas, and they wind up, they avoided San Francisco because Green Bay knocked them off.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then Dallas goes to the Super Bowl and gets to play Pittsburgh and Neil O'Donnell. He just wasn't very good, the truth was. And Larry Brown is the MVP of the game because he intercepts Neil O'Donnell.
Right.
Returned one for a touch. I think he got him three times.
Right.
So he's the MVP. Okay, so my point is, Deion changed the fate of both teams, but they were both really
good
to start
before he got
with.
There, okay.
And it was just going to be cherry on top. Who's the cherry on top? Well, it's Deion, and it's Deion.
Okay.
And I got to bring this up because it sticks in my craw. He won't like me saying this because I love primetime, but in that NFC Championship game, that first year after the 94 season at Candlestick, in the mud at Candlestick, Dallas is behind 21-0, storms back thanks to Michael Irvin, who'd had the game of his life with Deion taking him man-to-man. It was the greatest individual battle I've ever witnessed on a football field. I told you, if I had to pay for one game in my life to go back and be a part of it, if I could jump in the time machine, I would want to go watch that one again. Except Deion gets away with the move of the year. It saved the game because Dallas was about to get right back in the game, and here's a deep throw in the fourth quarter to Michael Irvin, and this is all-time interference. Is that not armbar interference?
but see what Ty did? Ty looking for the ball.
Where's the ball?
And he stumbled.
And he only ran 4-2, so he got
That's what saved it.
Okay.
You see, at the last second, he looked back for the ball, but Ty knew what he was doing.
And
people don't realize Deion is left-handed, so that's his dominant hand.
That's true. That's a good point. Very good point, actually. And Troy Aikman, a lot of people said he couldn't throw the deep ball, but he threw that one right on the button, and it's about to be 38-35 at that point.
How your pants so clean?
Yeah, good question. Good question. And the ref keeps the flag in his pocket, and first-year head coach Barry Switzer bolts out onto the field screaming bloody murder, and they throw flags at him like crazy, and they get Again, they don't get the penalty. They don't get the pass. They go backwards 15 yards, and all of a sudden it goes from second and 10 at the 49 or 43 to third and 25, and then Troy ends up getting sacked on fourth down, and that was the game on that play. So, again, I'm going to slightly disqualify primetime on his impact.
Okay.
Again, Peyton took over a team that Tebow had obviously taken to the division title and won a playoff game against Roethlisberger. Drew Brees, it took a little while for him to settle in and get going, but How can you discount that Brady walks in the door with a team that's 7-9
loaded
in a pandemic, but they're 7-9?
Yeah, but they're loaded, Skip.
The Buccaneers haven't gone to the playoffs in forever, right? Was it like
2014 years?
I was going to say 15 years, but
2006, 2007,
and obviously it's back to the 2002 season since they won a Super Bowl, and he in the pandemic. He turns them right around and takes them to the Super Bowl that is scheduled to be played in your home stadium. And all he wants is 25 and 25,
right?
So 2 years at $25 million is the all-time bargain to me.
Okay, it's a bargain, but Skip, you said, you said 70. I mean, you keep saying the Buccaneers. Skip, yes, I understand. But they're not the Buccaneers of 1976 that's just coming into the league and they'll have no talent.
Okay.
They're loaded.
Okay, but they're loaded without direction, without guidance, without culture. They don't have a winning culture. They were a losing football team because they led the league in turnovers and penalties the year before. And all of a sudden, he obviously cleaned that up, and he, as I always say, he installed the Patriot way in Tampa Bay. He did. He taught that whole franchise how to win, and he did it on the fly and got them to a Super Bowl in the first year.
Yes.
Okay? Well, Peyton's team was loaded, too.
Yes.
So it was easier for Peyton to flip the switch there. I just didn't think Peyton could physically stand up.
Right.
That was a bargain because nobody thought he could do it anymore, right?
Yeah.
He basically knocked on your door.
Yes.
So did Brady. I give you that.
Brady
saw the potential, but he realized, he helped it realize its potential.
Yeah, and think about it. Look at what Peyton did for Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
What he did for Eric Decker. Got Eric Decker paid. Julius Thomas became the highest paid tight end. Demaryius Thomas became one of the two highest paid wide receivers. He made a lot of people wealthy on the offensive side that we would not have been household names. When it's all said and done, you're probably going to be looking at the greatest two free agent signings, probably Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Drew Brees is in that mix because what he did for
it was more long term.
Right.
It took a little while for it to take off, but once it took off, it really took off.
Because when he got their skill, what they got, they had the second pick of the draft, so they got Reggie. Mm-hmm. So it took Sean Payton a while to build. He didn't have the pieces already.
They got Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
They didn't have the pieces already in place like Tampa. Tom just came in. He's like, man, I got some great ingredients here. I just don't gotta mess this up. Same thing with Peyton. Man, y'all got two receivers, a tight end, a running, a first round draft pick at running back.
Wait, you got Von Miller rushing the passer? Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
You had Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe. Mm-hmm. You had Chris Harris Jr. They ended up signing a Akeem Talib.
They did.
They brought in a TJ Ward. Yep. So they added some, but Skip, they were just like Tom, and Tom realized this. You, as you said, he surveyed the land. Now, where can I go that they don't have a QB entrenched that I could go in and possibly replace, that they got talent? The same thing with Peyton. So Peyton's like, hold on, where can I go that quarterback's not entrenched? Denver.
Okay, but the one slight advantage Peyton had is that they did win the division the year before, and they won a playoff game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they were 8-8.
Okay, but they
by
did
default.
It. At least it felt, you know, you knew how it felt to storm back.
Not very
and win
many
the
teams can win the last, can lose the last four games, last three games, and still win a division.
Well, they did, thanks to Tim Tebow. It was Tebow magic. I've never seen anything like it before.
Skip, you do realize Jameis threw for 5,200 yards and 30 touchdowns in that offense.
Yep, and it got them where?
I'm saying, what Brady mainly did was do what, Skip? Cut the turnovers in half. Because instead of throwing 30, he threw 30 interceptions, Brady threw 12 or 13, something like that. So that's all you had to do.
Okay, what if Jameis had returned this year and Arians had spent the offseason, what there was of it, trying to show him we've got to cut down on the turnovers.
Right.
We got to clean it up.
I don't believe he would have because Jameis doesn't know anything but that offense, and Bruce is not going to run anything but his offense. Tom could come in and say, B.A., I need a little more motion. I need to be a little bit more play action. I can throw it deep, but that doesn't every third down and five doesn't need to be a deep pass.
Okay.
We could take a shallow cross and have a guy run and get a first down. We could do that.
The difference is all those kids, starting with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they're in the locker room putting their stuff on, looking around saying, that's Tom Brady.
Let me ask you a question.
He's in our locker room. He's in our huddle.
Yeah. What you think when they saw Peyton Manning, guy that got four MVPs and going to two Super Bowls, they're like, and the same thing Brady does. He took those guys out, started throwing with them, tell them where he wanted to be. The thing is, the difference is, Skip, is that when he came in, Peyton ran the meetings. Peyton ran the walkthroughs.
Yeah.
This is what I want. Up tempo. And I believe B.A. has done a lot of that with Tom. Okay, Tom, you want to run some of this? What do you like?
Okay.
We're going to implement what you like. We're going to call it.
Well, I'll go out on a limb and say that Brady's first Super Bowl in Tampa will be a little better than Peyton's first Super Bowl in Denver because that was a debacle.
As long as they don't snap the ball over his head for a safety.
On the first play?
On the first play, he's going to be peachy after that.
What was it, 43-8?
43-8. 43-8.
Ooh,
a whole lot to a few.
I do.
That was the worst Super Bowl. Like, ooh.
That one was tough for you?
Yeah, I was there too.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys still do not have a contract in place for the 2021 season as he recovers from injury. There is projected to be more than the normal amount of quarterback movement in the league this offseason, and Matthew Stafford is one of them. Cowboys insider Todd Archer suggests Dallas should make a trade offer for the Lions QB, who has already agreed to move on from the team. Former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick is joining us now. Orlando, in your opinion, should the Cowboys have any interest in Matthew Stafford?
Absolutely, emphatically, no. It's a hard no. It's a little bit of a case of cutting off your nose to spite your face for me. Saving money, but what are we saving money exactly for? Just pay the man. Pay Dakota Rain Prescott his money that he deserves. He's earned it.
I think that you do your homework. Skip, I just want someone to tell me the infatuation with Matthew Stafford.
Really?
He's been in the league. Skip, yeah, he has these numbers. And our good friend Detroit, Rob Parker, named him Matthew Papper. Because if you look
Matt,
at the...
Something about Stat Papper.
Yeah, Stat Papper. Because he padded... I mean, you look at his numbers, like, he's the quickest to 30, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50... Well, I think he got 40,000 yards. But what does he have to show for it? Three playoff appearances in, what, a decade with zero playoff wins. Mm. Dak has been to two playoffs half the amount of time and got a playoff win. Mm-hmm. And don't pretend like, man, oh, he really had nobody. He had what I think two 1,000-yard rushes in Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush. He had Megatron for 8-9 years. He had the singing cow, Roy Williams. Yeah, Golden Tate. So don't make it seem like Matthew Stafford hadn't had any offensive weapons, Skip, now. Mm. So I don't get it. I get it. You know, the arm talent, and he can throw from different platforms. He still can throw the ball 65, 70 yards, Skip. But I agree with O on this one. Mm. He has 2 years left on his deal. That's very
low money.
But you know what he's going to want.
What is it, 20 and 23?
Yeah, yeah. Because they gave the bulk of the money over the first 3 years. I think they gave him like $90 million over the first 3 years.
Yep.
So for me, Skip, they're going to have – if you think you're going to trade for him and he's going to play those 2 years at that number, you're crazy. But I would not – I believe Dak should be compensated for what he's done. Mm-hmm. But, hey – Cowboys, do your homework, and whatever you decide, I'll support.
All right. Before I go, back to you, Mr. Scandrick. I assume you've played against Matt Stafford.
I have in the playoff game.
I think
he's getting older. I think he's getting older. I think, you know, Dak's in the prime of his career. Dak is the model citizen. He's the perfect face of your franchise. He has embodied and embraced everything that you talk about being in the Dallas Cowboy, and I think you just reward him. I think there's been several players that have been paid before him, and Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and it's just Dak's time, you know. I feel he should be paid.
Okay,
he's done everything that you've asked him to.
How much respect do you have for Matt Stafford's arm?
I have a lot of respect for Matt Stafford's arm, but these last few years he's been banged up and hasn't played 16 games.
I agree.
This is the first time Dak's missed a game.
Okay, here's my lone issue with Dak Prescott. I am the biggest fan, but it feels like he and Jerry have clashed so hard that they've gone over the edge past the point of no return. I just have this sinking feeling they're never going to quite get on the same page. Because remember the Yahoo report that we talked again and again about, not this past year, but the year before, after the first three games, Dak was just on fire, you said, against garbage opponents. But it was, remember, the Giants in Washington and Miami, they were no good that year. But remember, Jerry said publicly after the opening game, we are imminent. We have Jerry wouldn't say a deal was imminent unless they had agreed on the money. It was just crossing a few T's and dotting a few I's. And all of a sudden, the new agent, Todd France, said, April Fool's, Jerry, we want more money. I don't know exactly how much they demanded. I'm pretty sure it was in the low 40s because they knew that Mahomes was going to get mid 40s, if not more, and that Deshaun was going to get up into the 40s. And they wanted at least in those ballparks. So have they, sort of, has that ship sailed? It may be, because once you cross Jerry Jones, I don't care who you are or how valuable you might be as the face of the franchise, sometimes it's just you can't get it back on the same page.
Right.
So they franchised him once. If they franchise him again for next year, it's over. He will be going because they're not going to pay him $53 million the next year, right? He will become a free agent. Okay, here's my only thought about Matt Stafford. I agree with all the points you made, the negative points. Here are the positive points. He grew up in a neighborhood called Highland Park. It's affluent. It's right there by SMU, just right in the middle of Dallas, Texas. I'm sure Orlando knows it well.
Yeah,
I know it very well. He grew up with Clayton Kershaw. They played baseball and football together, and he was a star quarterback for a school that has the richest tradition of football in the state of Texas. It's a mostly white school, but they have been like a white juggernaut for years and years. And I'm sure he's got a soft spot in his heart for, wouldn't he like to go home and finish at home? Would he give them some quote-unquote hometown discount? Maybe. Okay, now I just throw at you real quick. Earlier this year on his weekly TV radio gig that he does, Aaron Rodgers, he raved about Matt Stafford out of the blue. He brought him up unannounced because they were talking about no-look passes, and he said, hey, the guy who, the dude, he said, who doesn't get enough credit is that number nine in Detroit. He throws it in ways that that people don't talk about enough. He'll throw it anyway from any arm angle, no look, underarm, sidearm, whatever he's going to do. He throws those passes. And then just the other day, Bruce Arians raved about Matt Stafford. I couldn't believe it. Bruce Arians said he's one of the few, he's one of my all-time favorite guys, tough as nails, and that team knows it. He's one of the few quarterbacks I go out early to watch warm up, just to watch him throw the football, because he said he's been one of the top four or five guys, and he's talking about throwing the football since he walked in the door in this league. Okay, well, don't underestimate his ability to throw it. To me, he's a better passer than Dak. Is he a better leader, a better winner? Well, to your point, no.
Right.
But can he spin the football?
Oh, he can spin, he can spin the football.
And he
throws a lot of wins away too, doesn't he, O?
Absolutely, but turns the ball over a lot. But let's just don't even overthink this thing. Dak Prescott in his mid-20s. Matthew Stafford going into his mid-30s.
He's 33,
I sat in an office with Stephen Jones before, and he told me, when we talked about a contract, he said, we're not going to cut any corners. We know it's no cutting no corners and saving no money. We're going to use all the money that we have, you know, to build the best team that we can to compete for a Super Bowl. I think this will be cutting a corner. I think you taking him, this will be cutting a serious corner, and this will set your franchise back for a long time.
And
you didn't give Zeke Elliott $100 million or $90 million to cut corners. You didn't give Amari Cooper $100 million to cut corners. You just need to get the deal done, pay this man, and the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have never lost a player that they want to keep, ever.
Skip, the reason why Brady can play late into his career is that, with the exception of 2008, Brady never missed any time.
Nope.
He had no ticky-tack injuries. If you have ticky-tack injuries in your early 30s, how much? It's only a matter of time. You can't just keep having these injuries, missing time, and then all of a sudden, like, you know what? For the next 4 or 5 years, he's going to be totally healthy.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, is it possible that Matthew Stafford has been somewhat a victim of a sad sack franchise in Detroit that couldn't protect him or put enough
help
around?
Absolutely, but he's a loser. Leave him where he's at. We don't want him, Skip.
Hold on. You keep on talking about fast sack. What about the Cowboys? What have the Cowboys been in the last 25 years?
Dak won a playoff game.
You hear him all? Now Dak won a playoff game. He just talked about Matthew Stafford spinning the ball, how B.A. said he could throw it, Aaron Rodgers.
I just hope that it's not over with Dak Prescott. He just signed with Anheuser-Busch and went right in the face of Jerry Jones because the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys is Coors.
Well, maybe he didn't want to drink the banquet beer. Okay. Maybe he wanted Anheuser-Busch.
I don't know, but it feels like they've gone to war.
Maybe he got a little backdoor deal with Anheuser-Busch since the Cowboys. That's going to make up for that 42
maybe.
Million.
Yeah, maybe he liked Clydesdale. Maybe they promised him a Clydesdale, Skip. I don't know.
I don't either. But I just want this over. I'm with you. If I have my choice, I'm taking Dak. But if you somehow convince me that it's never going to get done, that it's never going to be right, that they'll never have a middle ground in this negotiation. It's only gone on for 2 years.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, what's plan B? I'll take Stafford as a plan B.
Plan B is get a new quarterback. You don't say I'm going to get this. Skip, you didn't say I'm going to get this Bentley. And then if I couldn't get this Bentley, I'm going to go ahead and get this Ford Taurus.
Yeah, you ain't cut no quarter with me. With Ernestine. Ernestine saying, Skip, can I get a Bentley? Well, if I don't get a Bentley, what about a Chrysler Sebring? Oh, what? You want to get out of my face?
You know, Skip, you know Ernestine wasn't going for that.
Exactly.
No, she wasn't. But by the way, that phrase from Stephen Jones about I'm not cutting corners, it had double meaning because I think he did cut a corner. He cut you, right? Eventually.
Oh, no. If we talk about that situation, I got 3 contracts from the Dallas Cowboys.
I thought
that it was time for me to move on, you know, and they were moving in a different direction. They're bringing in Chris Richard. And, you know, I kind of got ahead of myself. I thought the grass was greener instead of going to get a water hose and watering my grass over there and getting to work, you know, getting the
weeds.
Live and learn.
Well, I'm going to say whose side I'm on. Who's ever going to send me 50 cases of beer, Anheuser-Busch, of course, which one? Whoever going to send me the beer, that's whose side I'm on, Dak or Jerry's.
Well, fortunately for you, I don't think you drink beer.
But right? I got a party coming.
You got a party coming. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
You do. Super Bowl party.
Yeah. Yep.
In mass, right? Everybody's in mass.
No, I ain't going to have 2 people at my house watching. ain't no Super Bowl party in the crib.
No, you're okay.
Oh,
darn,
no.
I was hoping for a quick invite. No. Distanced? All right, I'll move on. Orlando, we appreciate your time. Stay well. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Saturday on Fox, third-ranked Villanova continues their fight for the top spot in the nation as they take on Big East rival Seton Hall. It all tips off at 2:30 on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Well, last night, Brooklyn's Big Three showed up big, combining for 89 points in a 132-128 win over the Hawks in overtime. Harden tallied 15 assists and after the game called it a, quote, great win. So, Shannon, what did you learn from this game?
What I've been telling you all along is that defense is going to be an issue for them. Mm-hmm. And I told you they're more apt, they're more like the team that gives up on average about a 120-125, mm-hmm. as opposed to held the Heat to 85 points. They gave up 126, 116 in regulation. And so, Skip, right now, that's the way they're winning the ball games. Their Big Three was exceptional again last night. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows they have the ability. When you got three, I feel very comfortable in saying I can't remember team that had this many elite players like this. Basically, they're still in the prime, Skip, that could score the basketball like they could. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you go back with Will Elgin and Jerry West, Skip, but Will was a center. He needed somebody to get him the ball. All three of these guys can take the ball themselves and just get whatever they want to get. Now, the question that I have, and we saw it show its little head last night, Skip, who's going to be the closer? Mm-hmm. Because in their own right, every guy should be and could be the closer. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant has always been there. James Harden, for the last 8 years, 9 years that he was in Houston, he's been there. Kyrie Irving, for the most part, in Boston, he was that. Now you mix those guys together. Now who does it, Skip? I looked at Kevin Durant. He had 2 shots, 1 at 4:30, 1 at 3:45, and then take another shot down the stretch. James Harden mainly had the ball in his hand. James Harden mainly took the shots down the stretch. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see, because they're not wrong. James Harden is a tremendous closer. Kyrie is a tremendous closer. So is Kevin Durant. But you got 3 closers, Skip, because you only got 1 ball. You know, all the closers don't just get a ball. You got to be able to share the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how they start to close these games down the stretch. But, Skip, they're going to have to play better defense than this. You know that, Skip. And I'm not saying Atlanta's no slouch now. They got some guys that can shoot the ball.
Firepower.
They got some guys that can shoot the ball. But they're going to have to play better defense than what they're playing right now.
hey, DeAndre Hunter and John Collins, and we knew what Cam Reddish was coming out of Duke.
And Ice Tray. He struggled to shoot the ball last night, Skip.
I'm going to say this again. I sit back in awe watching the Brooklyn Nets because, to your point, you've never seen anything like this. Mm-mm. These are three of the greatest shot creators and shot makers we've ever seen on one floor together. It's probably the greatest trio ever.
Yes.
Of just pure offensive genius, if you will. I think they each have some level of genius in their game. And yet, I'm going to say this one more time. You are sleeping on Bruce Brown because he has become their designated defender. He's going to be my little Scotty Miller of the net. Because I told you, don't sleep on Scotty Miller. Don't sleep on Bruce Brown. In the fourth quarter last night, he played 8.5 minutes, made all four of his shots. And he's the one who can do a number on Ice Tray. Mm-hmm. He can do a number on the perimeter score of the other team, and he's pretty good at D'ing up. And again, do they need a JaVale McGee? Yes, they do, because DeAndre's getting a little long in the tooth. He can still play.
And even though he only played 22 minutes, with overtime, he only played 22 minutes.
Okay, and don't sleep on Kevin Durant as a rim protector and a defender. Okay, now to the issue at hand. I gave kudos to your Lakers because they ran a play to get the lead at the end of the game, and it was beautiful basketball to watch. And maybe LeBron called in the huddle, like you said. He called timeout because he said he didn't like the way it was setting up.
Right.
We got to talk this over. We got to run a play, and they got a bunny, basically, for AD.
AD going to the rim.
Flashed across the paint, and LeBron hit him right in stride with a bounce pass, and here you go. Okay, so the Nets down the stretch. You're right. Who's the closer, as in who's going to take the last shot? Well, the wrong guy took the last shot last night at the end of regulation because there's dribble, dribble, dribble. Where have I seen this before? Dribble, 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 step back, contested three, back iron, no good. And you see Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Kevin picked for him, but then he wanted the ball back. And Kyrie just kind of stood over in the corner like, I'm open.
Everybody just stayed around watching.
I just got it. I got it. Oh, that was Jeff Green, actually. But the point is, that's the last guy I want taking that shot. Option number one needs to be the best player on the planet. Right. I'm sorry, that 7-foot monster needs the basketball.
Because, Skip, the reason why I wouldn't have a problem with KD or Kyrie, because both guys, not only can they shoot the three, but they can get to the mid-range. Absolutely. When is the last time you saw James Harden shoot a mid-range shot? Skip, it's step back three or it's to the basket.
Right. He's capable, but he just doesn't do it.
Exactly.
Right.
So in situations like that, I want a guy that if you stop me from getting all the way to the rim, I'm going to step up and pull up and shoot the jumper on you. KD and Kyrie are very capable.
Yep.
Once James Harden got cut off from getting to the rim, already knew what he was going to do. He's going to step back.
Okay. So I didn't need dribble, dribble, dribble. I needed some semblance of an idea of we're going to get Kevin basketball.
You have three dribbles. You didn't need dribble, 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 dribble.
Dribble, 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 dribble. I need a play call for Kyrie. Let him isolate him. Let him dance on somebody because he's hard to deal with.
Or do what Tobias Harris and them did to the Lakers. Run a high pick and roll. Put somebody in the pick and roll.
Okay.
Kevin Durant, you should have ran the high pick and roll, high screen and roll because they looked like they had Herter on Kevin Durant.
They did.
Put him in the pick and roll and let Kevin Durant get what he wants.
Okay. So you look at the final box and you see KD 32. James 31 plus he's going to lead the league in assists. He had 15 last night and 8 rebounds.
Right.
So he almost had a triple double
and only 3 turnovers.
Yeah, and then Kyrie added a mere 26.
Yeah.
Well, that's
on 7. But Skip, are you not concerned? Cuz the last 4 games, this is what Kevin Durant's minutes, 50, 37, 38, 42. Are you not a little concerned?
Okay, but he did sit a whole game out, which LeBron should do tonight.
You're not made of what we made. He's human. No, he's not.
He's human. I can't tell. They can win without him at Detroit.
Whoa, Skip. See? Okay. Now, I remember the time when we were doing this show, and LeBron would sit out, and you come up here with all your stats. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan played 82 games.
Well, I mean, but Michael Jordan played another
80 games.
I know, but wait a second. You're talking about a guy who wasn't human.
and he played. So my guy's not human, and he don't he don't need no rest.
Your guy's chasing Kareem, and he's going to chase him right into another groin pull. Watch. I'm knocking on wood for him. I don't want to even suggest it.
Skip. We get with Mike right after the game. We get our stretching in.
Yep.
We get our couple of glasses of wine in.
Yeah,
we get in our little chambers. We get in our compression boots.
Yep.
We good. I be in my compression boots now.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been doing something special, Skip. I've been to the lab.
Really? I actually wanted to get some compression boots for myself, although I can't say I'm training as hard as Shannon is. But I hear they're so helpful. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Could you hook me up with some, Shannon? That would be great. Yeah. They're pretty expensive. They're nice. I want to get back to the Texans, who've reportedly hired Ravens passing game coordinator David Culley as their next head coach. Earlier in the show, Shannon, you said that your source told you Deshaun was unhappy and had asked Houston for a trade. That story is now getting a lot of traction from several reporters. So, Shannon, how do you think this will all play out?
Skip, I'm waving. Sean gone. He doesn't trust Cal McNair. He doesn't like the direction that the organization is going in. He doesn't like the culture of the organization. Mm-hmm. And like, as I said before, my sources told me that Deshaun is willing to play hardball, if necessary, to get out of Houston. It's as simple as that. Now, the requests were made. We want out. Now, you can say, oh, we will see. We'll hire this guy, and maybe it's somebody he likes, and he'll come back. I was told there's not a hire that they can hire now that would make Deshaun change his mind.
Yep.
His mind is made up. When you did what you did, when you promised him that you would keep him into the loop of what was going on, and then you did not do that, and then when he pitched a fit about what you were doing, then you circled back and started looking at minorities, he says, I can't trust you because you gave me your word in the beginning. You went against your word, I get upset. So what's to say, Skip, in the future? You says, okay, Deshaun, this is the way we gonna do it. What's gonna say that you won't do that again? Mm. You lie before, you'll lie to me again. Mm. So Deshaun is done with this situation. Now, the thing now, what can they extrapolate from teams? Knowing that Deshaun Watson won't out, knowing that he's not going back, knowing that he's willing to play hardball in order to get out.
Yep.
That is the question. Deshaun Watson is not going back to Houston.
First, kudos to you. You've been way ahead of this curve and ahead of this story and all over it, ahead of the pack.
Yes.
So I appreciate that, and I thank you for that. It now feels like Deshaun dug in on this, according to you, even before this bombshell hire, this out-of-nowhere left-field hire came last night of a David Culley. And as I told you earlier, the only reason I know David Culley is because he played quarterback for my school, Vanderbilt, was an assistant there briefly. And every time they had an opening at head coach, his name seemed to pop up. Why he didn't get it, I don't know.
Right.
But he would always be a candidate to return to Vanderbilt as the head coach. And I did read a report last night that David Culley, as a coach on the Ravens staff, obviously, helped coach Deshaun in last year's Pro Bowl, and that they hit it off or they clicked. But clearly, Deshaun is already out. It transcends who the head coach is. And by
Correct.
The way, David Culley is African-American, so at least for what it's worth, the Texans did hire the only African-American head coach in this hiring cycle.
Right.
The last job available of the seven jobs, and they did hire African-American.
But, Skip, if I can't trust you, the coach has a little consequences to the owner.
No.
The owner's going to do what he wants to do,
What did him in was the executive position, the hiring of Nick Caserio as the GM, after the search firm that you paid millions of dollars to came up with two possible minority candidates, and you said no to both and went back to the well in New England to hire Nick Caserio.
And the guy, what you said, Easterby?
Mm-hmm.
He's the source of the contention.
Yeah, he's the top executive beneath Cal McNair.
Yeah.
The son of the late.
Those two aren't going anywhere. So Deshaun said, since y'all not going anywhere, I'm going to pack my bags. I leave.
Okay. It's going to have to get ugly because I'm assuming that the Texans will play hardball back.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I give it just a matter of time. They're going to start leaking information, info, if they haven't already. And that's the way you have to approach it. Skip, I remember I was growing up and my aunts would get upset with my grandfather. He'd say, look, you stay in my house, you're going to come in at this time. And they would grumble and grumble. My grandfather would say, don't grumble and stay. Grumble and leave. He said, don't tell me what a mofo and an SOB I am in my house. Deshaun Watson says, you know what? I'm not going to grumble and stay right here. No. Easter B and Calvin there, you're not going. I'm going to grumble and leave.
So it will cost him some money to hold out.
If
it requires holding out of training camp, because he will get heavily fined. Mm-hmm. It could cost him up to maybe $1 million, but he's making a ton of new money. Obviously. Hey,
can you imagine Deshaun in New York? New York.
With the Jets.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want the Jets? Would you wish that upon Deshaun?
I think at this point in time, he has the no trade. So he really gets to set the table of where he wants to go. So he can just narrow it down. Says, okay, I want Jets or I want Miami. I want San Francisco. So he really can narrow the scope. So it's not a situation where, Skip, like James Harden, the whole league, I mean, there are 15 teams. When you have a no trade, well, I'm not waving my no trade for them, but I'm not coming to you.
Mm.
So
would Deshaun sign off on joining the new coach Urban Meyer in Jacksonville in a straight-up trade for Trevor Lawrence or the rights to Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick so that Houston could start fresh with Trevor Lawrence? And Jacksonville would go places quickly with, I think, the second best quarterback to Mahomes of the young quarterbacks in football.
Skip, it didn't get to that kind of conversation. I was basically listening.
Yep.
He wants out. The Jets are a top priority for him. Mm-hmm. Didn't get
just because of New York.
He really likes Robert Saleh.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
Yeah. He likes Robert Saleh.
Right. I hope he likes what's left in the cupboard there.
That's what's shocking to me is that the Jets, I understand Robert Saleh, but there are teams that have more weapons and probably wouldn't have to give up as much to get you. Definitely Miami.
Yep, I got it.
And both teams have some money up under the cap. But Jacksonville with 80-plus million, Skip. You could get a lot of free agents, especially with no state income tax.
All right, we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out for Deshaun.
No mercy.